Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, I know who I am, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could put a hat over my eyes, spin me around, and kick me into the street and let a car hit me, I would still date you. My guest today, you know him from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Eastsiders. He's got an Instagram where he recreates looks from the red carpet and has a podcast called Trashcast. It's Tom Lenk.
Hello. I want to date you. I want to date you. I want to date you. Yes.
Oh, what a treat. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, man, I'm just happy to be talking to a human being right now.
Yes, it's hard. We are, so I stack episodes. This is going to come out 4 weeks after I record it. I have no idea what the state of the world is going to be, but so far it's been me in my house. What have you been doing?
Just jerking off 24 hours a day.
I had a full-blown meltdown yesterday because I was like, it's going to be so long before I see a dick in person again. And I started sobbing in my bathroom.
I was talking to my horniest gal pal, and we were just talking about how yesterday I feel like everyone hit their, like, it's only, 7 days in, and we've hit, like, our horniest peak, because it, like, and I recently went like 3 weeks without touching myself and enjoying the pleasure of my own company. But mm-hmm. I feel like the threat of us having to go an entire month alone, like, it all hit everybody yesterday. And so everyone got so horny, and just everyone I talked to was just like, I can't stop touching myself.
I truly masturbated 4 times yesterday. And I discovered that that is too many times. I woke up sore.
Look, I'm having some carpal tunnel issues. And it's...
You wake up and your wrist just hurts and you're like, why? And you're like, oh, because I've been using that wrist.
TBH, I did ice. First, I took a very sensual... I'm quarantined at my friend's house because I just moved, just in time to not be able to go find a new place. So I'm at my friend's, my ex-boyfriend and his boyfriend. We're all friends. It's fine. I'm not in a throuple. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But they have, they're well off. One of them is a doctor and one's an executive and I'm a poor. So I'm just living my best quarantine life. And they have a one of those bathtubs with jet things in it.
Oh.
And it I didn't realize that the jets keep the water hot. And so I took a very sensual, erotic, late night bath last night. And I just was like feeling I felt like Angela Lansbury in that video where she makes, where she takes a bath. Like I was just like pointing my feet and then like rubbing my legs and touching myself. And then I had to ice my hand afterwards. For real. I put ice on my hand because I'm just like, I've got it. I've given myself carpal tunnel in quarantine.
I was in Florida last month in Fort Lauderdale visiting my friend. And at like, I don't know, 3 p.m., the jets come on to like fill the pool with hot water. And I just like inched myself over to the jet and I was like, oh, and my friend Nick was like, what are you owing at? And I was like, actually, maybe I shouldn't do this in front of you, but I gotta say, this feels good. And he was like, I'll get out. And I was like, no, I'm being weird.
Look, why shouldn't we be able to have just like comfortable feelings in front of each other in a pool? I say that's healthy.
I think that's healthy as well. And I'm going to start coming in front of my friends in pools. Thank you, Tom. That is the gift that you've given me today. I'm going to take it with me.
Well, the thing is, if your hand's not down there, you can't shame us about it, right?
Yeah.
So like we should be able to just go to town on ourselves in front of one another as long as you don't really know what's happening. I don't know.
I agree. So wait, so you're staying with your ex-boyfriend and his current partner. Are you friends with all of your exes?
I'm not. Like, I'm still in therapy from 15 years ago from the one that just broke me. And so I've never talked to him post-breakup. But for some reason, I think it's an age thing. I think once you realize, like, wait, well, because I have a weird... Okay, this is my thought about dating, which is either you stay together... Well, okay. Dating is you stay together until you either break up or one of you dies.
Yes.
Think about it. I know that's a very fatalistic approach to dating, but it's going to end either way. So why not be friends with people after the fact? The weird part, though, is that I'm staying with my ex and he dated a Tom before me. Now, okay, I'm going to give you the full story.
Yes, please.
I hooked up via Grindr this guy named Tom and we had like an ongoing... just like, you know, handsies, blowsies, buddies for like on and off for a year. And then he moved to London because he had a midlife crisis. Then I found another gentleman on Grindr, went over to his house and I was like, oh, I have been here before, but not with you, sir. But I didn't tell him that. And so then I started dating him. The original guy, his name was also Tom. Okay, so it turns out they had broken up. This guy that I'm now staying with. Oh, God, this is so complicated. Basically, it's too much Tom on my hands. Tom after Tom. So old Tom dated Mike, and now I was the new Tom, and then I broke up. No, wait, sorry. Then old Tom came back. I moved in with Mike. Old Tom started subletting my old place, and I was living in his old place. And then when I broke up with Mike. I moved back in. Old Tom took over that. It's so complicated. This is a gay soap opera. I can't explain to you right now properly.
This truly sounds like a subplot to the L Word.
Oh my God. I'm living my best lesbian life, aren't I?
I love it.
Anyway, so now we're all friends. Everything's fine. They've all moved on with their lives. Mike, he's a doctor and now he's with a casting director. I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy that the person who doesn't need to be dating a casting director
is dating a casting director. That's so funny.
But I'm being silly, but they're very lovely and I feel very hashtag blessed to be their third wheel while we are stuck in quarantine.
I mean, I'm staying with a couple. My roommate has a boyfriend, so I'm with a couple in this quarantine. I've been having a good time being a little third wheel.
Honestly, I think I lived by myself for a long time, and then I was in a relationship living together, and then I was back living alone. And to be honest, I feel like I might be happier living with other people in a household. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I'm fully happier with a roommate and dogs, because then I'm just like if I'm alone, I'm alone. And I'll be like, all right, I guess I'm not going to wash my hair or my clothes, and I'm just going to be stinky alone. But if you live with someone, you kind of have to be like, okay, well, I'm going to like wash my pussy because it might start stinking, and I need to like be cognizant that we're going to spend time together.
Amen to that.
So here's a question. When you said that dating is truly like you're either dating to break up or to be together until you die, I think you're correct. Like, I don't think there's like a real in between. Like, even if you're friends with benefits, like either it's going to turn into a relationship or you're going to break up.
I mean, I know it's a dark take on dating, but at my point of where I'm at in life, I'm at the point where my friends are having their first divorces. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, there were times when I felt like lonely and sad that I didn't have someone to be with. But like, I fully have opted out of having to deal with divorces. And I'm a gay person. And so like, having kids wasn't a thing that I necessarily wanted or want to have in my life. I don't know. We'll see. Check back in 10 years. But I feel like, I don't know. Like, there is something to being happy with yourself and being happy alone. And like, who's to say that dating isn't like, or, you know, being together. Like, I know other people talk about it, but I think that marriage should be a lease with an option to renew. Like, let's maybe get married for 3 years. And then like, we had a good run, and now I want to experience another type of car. Like, I loved the Prius, but now I want a convertible. And I know that, you know, I'm going to get less gas mileage, but at least I'll have the wind running through my hair and I'll have a new experience. I don't know. I don't know the answers, Nicole.
I don't know the answers too, but being monogamous is kind of like a crazy thing to ask somebody, to be like, will you love me for the rest of time? Like, that's crazy. And like, some couples, I think, yes, like it works for you. And then other couples, it's like, yeah, an open relationship or taking time apart is also good for you. I think that's the most interesting thing about relationships, because they can all be so fucking different.
Well, I mean, the gays have really, I don't know what your percentage of your audience is the gays.
Oh,
but
I have literally 7 straight male friends,
okay, great,
or fans. It's all gay men, it's lesbians, it's fat ladies, and ladies who make their boyfriends listen.
That's all I want to be with. I'm so done with straight men. I just want to be around your audience. I feel like the gays, I mean, somebody tweeted, there was a funny tweet the other day that was like, oh, quarantine. Well, now the gays will have to start only sleeping with their husbands. And it's so like, and I take no credit for that joke, but it is so true. Like, most gay married couples I know are in an open thing. And I don't know if that's the answer, but maybe it is. And I'm so shocked that the straights haven't really caught on to it yet. But it does seem so weird to like have this whole ceremony that was created like 2,000 years ago so that like we would be brainwashed into not. Like, sometimes I think about marriage was like, well, you had to like save yourself and then get married so that both of you wouldn't die of, you know, you could literally back then you could die of gonorrhea, right? So you were trying, everyone's trying to not die of gonorrhea. You know, I don't know, what did Mozart die of? I always think about that. Like, well, so I feel like marriage was created so that we could, you know, own, so that men could own women and people wouldn't die when they were 25. I don't know. It just seems so outdated to me. When's the last wedding you were at?
Ooh, that's a very good, I haven't been to a wedding in so long.
And aren't you grateful for that?
Okay, here's why I like weddings. I like seeing my comedy friends dressed up because they all clean up so nicely. And I'm like, we never really dress up for each other. So like at a wedding, I get to see people and they're like best of the best. But like, it is weird that marriage started off as like a bartering thing. It's like, well, if you give me land, you can have my daughter. And then in like the 50s, the De Beers company was like, a diamond ring is what you need to give a woman, which is like a fully made up thing.
Oh my God, I am obsessed with the history of diamonds and how we were just all advertised and brainwashed into thinking that that's what you have to do. And now this stone that we have too many of and that they keep in surplus is now what we have to get married with.
Yeah, it's so fucking bonkers to me. Like, I don't want a diamond ring when if I ever get married. I want like an old ring that they found in like a thrift store or something. Like one of my best friends, my dear friend who lives in Portland, her husband wears like this ring with an eagle on it. It's like a piece of costume jewelry, I think. And then she's got a fun ring. And I'm like, yeah, they didn't spend a lot. They got married at a campsite in this beautiful place in Portland. I was like, yeah, the way you're doing it is like chill and cool. And I love this.
I totally support that. I have a friend, Darlene, and she just wanted to, she's an actor and a writer as well. And I have the same reaction to her, which is as of marriage as like, I get up enough in front of people and have them clap for me and give me attention. I do that all the time. Like, I feel like non-performer people maybe need mm-hmm. that moment of getting married. Like, hey, give me attention. Like, I get that too much. And I honestly don't want you to look at me while I'm having real feelings. So she got married in her like parents' living room in Tennessee. And then she came back to LA and had a party at Sean Hayes' mansion in.
Ooh, come on now.
Like, and that's the way to do it. You have a rich friend who lets you have a party and you put on your nice dress and we all get to come and dress up and just like have a party. Like, to me, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I just want to like,
that's what I want.
Just have a party. I don't want to have feelings and cry and feel weird in front of an audience.
It is very performative to be like, I put all this together. I hired a wedding planner. I hired people to cook for you. I'm paying for your dinner. We're going to dance to either a fucking live band or a DJ. And I'm going to cry in front of all of you. And you're all going to like it. And you're going to give me fucking presents for crying. It's so wild.
I do. But I do. I love that you appreciate the fact that you get to see your friends get dressed up and have a moment. I just wish we had another reason to get dressed up. Like,
yeah,
you know?
But I mean, I'm going to, after quarantine is done, I am dressing the fuck up whenever I leave my house.
Oh, by the way, I got invited to a Google Hang dinner party tonight, and it's formal, and we're supposed to dress up, cook ourselves dinner, and we're meeting up at 8:00. My friend Sarah organized this. I'm like, yes, I will be doing this.
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Oh no, I know, but it is a common. It's another Sarah. That
it's
Sarah
one of the most common names in the world.
I know, but SMG and I are, and this other Sarah are all friends, and we do text each other as a trio. So
I do love it. I don't want to like nerd out, but like, you were very wonderful on Buffy, and that's what I know you from. And I think you're really funny and wonderful. And then, do you remember years ago we did a video together?
Yes, we did a vote, get registered to vote video via that Joss Whedon organized and directed. Yes. And I didn't want to nerd out to you then that I enjoy you and think you're a goddamn gift to the world and hilarious. So,
what a treat. I love that. Thank you.
The feeling is mutual, and I'm obsessed with you. I was like, when Joss asked me to do it, and it's like, I had the tiniest part in the whole thing. And I was like, yes, I will do this because I love Nicole and I want to be near and close to her.
Yeah, it was so lovely to meet. It was so weird to be there. And then Joss had asked me to write like something else. And I wrote it like in a couple hours and then sent it off to him. And right after I sent it, I was like, you just sent Joss Whedon a first draft. Who are you?
Who do you think you are, bitch? Who do you think you are?
Truly.
No, you're a goddamn talented entertainment industry professional. That's what you are.
But I like then had to like backtrack and be like, I'm so sorry. That was a first draft. Let me go through this again. Oh my God. It was so wild.
Also, what is weird is that I met you pre, that was like the, what's the word? The calm before the storm.
Yes.
In 2016, I guess. And now here we are again. Here we are again.
Isn't it wild how things change in 4 years? 4 years, we were trying to get Hillary elected, but then everyone couldn't get over a couple of emails. And now we're in a full-blown pandemic with no pandemic team and some wild president who just keeps talking. Honestly, put a muzzle on him. He truly is wild. But we don't need to talk about him. Okay. So let me ask you, we're going to talk about relationships in a little bit more about relationships, but you on your Instagram, you recreate red carpet looks. When did that start? Because it's so funny.
It started, was it 3-4 years ago? It was the Met Gala. I was watching it and I was like, the theme was like space age or whatever, I don't know. And I was like, everyone looks like they're wearing the same tinfoil. And so then I posted one outfit of like, here's every dress at the Met Gala. And then I thought, oh, well, let me see if I can just make a bunch of these. And I posted them. And then I think it was because SMG reposted them. Eliza Dushku reposted them. And then it just took off. And I was like, oh, really? This is what's going to take off? The thing I am not trying at all to do. I've been an actor for 20 goddamn years in Hollywood, trying to stay relevant, trying to get attention. And this, the thing I did in my sleep. Okay, I'm running with it. And it's like 3.5 years later, maybe it's 4 years. Oh, it's going to be 4 years at the Met Gala that would have been, but it's being canceled this year.
Do you have a book?
No. I honestly think if I were a straight person doing this, I would have had a book deal by now. I would have had a TV show. I'm not to ride your coattails, but I keep saying I want to, like, in the style of Nailed It, I want to do a trash fashion show where it's your average American person trying to make outfits out of trash, and well, I want to judge
you,
it.
Have you pitched it?
I keep trying, but no one will I don't know where to go. Okay. Nicole, where do I go?
I'm going to send an email after we're done to hook you up with the production company of Nailed It, and you can pitch it to them. Cause I do think that's a good idea. I think it's very fun.
And you will be a producer on it. Thank you very much for sending that email. God damn it.
I love to get paid to just have my name on something.
Oh my God. Wouldn't it be amazing? I said I was going to keep doing it until it became a TV show. And then I got tired like 2 months ago. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to become a TV show. And I don't know how many times, because here's what I've learned. It's a lot of goddamn work to be a lady, as you know, and to put on. To me, the most exhausting part is putting on the makeup. I just don't enjoy it. I don't love it. I'm very alone. So I'm taping these outfits to myself and sweating and got my camera in selfie mode trying to get these photos. And it's a lot. So I would love to do it when someone's helped. Because to me, the fun part is like solving the puzzle of like, how will I make this outfit with what I have here in the limited ingredients that I have? And I love making the outfit. And it was kind of a skill that I've always had. Like, I was a big theater nerd kid and was constantly having to make costumes for whatever show that I was doing. So I've been crafty for a long time. I just didn't see it coming together in this way. Though, wait, oh my God, I did go to a psychic. No, I had a psychic come to my house because he was a psychic who came to my friend's business and was like, I see you guys not working together very soon. And then 2 weeks later, the plastic surgeon that they were all worked for drove off a cliff in Malibu and died.
Oh my God.
By accident. It was the one that did Heidi, of Heidi and Spencer did all her plastic surgery, and he just accidentally died. So I was like, I want to go to that psychic because he is accurate.
Truly.
years ago, he came over and he was like, I see you doing something. He was like, I see you doing like something related to the Oscars. And I just did a short film that I'd submitted to the Oscars and it didn't qualify. And I was like, God damn it, I have to make another short film. And then he said, I see you doing something with costumes and you're going to get into shape. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting into shape. I know Joss Whedon. He's going to put me in a Marvel movie. That's what's happening. I'm going to be a superhero. I feel it. Yes. Well, I was like 4 years after that, I was still angry that none of that had come true until I realized it had, because I had done the thing for the Oscars with E on the red carpet, making costumes. I had gotten into shape because I was sick of the thing not coming true. And I thought maybe if I get into shape, the psychics thing will come true. And then he'd given me a dollar amount, and that's what I've been paid by E. So anyway, all the psychic person was right.
Wow.
Just not in the way that thought it was going to be. Isn't that weird?
That is very strange. I have seen several psychics. Not one of them has predicted anything in my life with any sort of accuracy. I met with a pretty famous like medium, and so we did this like pre-interview thing, and they're like, are you a believer? And I said, no. And they asked me why. And I said, because a lot of questions are so open-ended and you fill in the blanks and you can look up a lot of stuff about me on the internet or listen to like my podcast or whatever. And they were like, okay, well, this person is real. And I said, all right. So then I met with them and they were like, don't answer the open-ended questions if you feel like that's like a cheat. And I said, okay. So that's what I did. And they're like, wow, you gave him nothing. And I was like, you told me to give him nothing. And then he didn't say anything that I didn't already know. And then he was like talking about somebody in my mom's like personal history. And I was like, I don't know who you're talking about. And then I asked my aunt about it. And she's like, oh, I have no idea what this person's talking about. And I was like, I have yet to meet a psychic to tell me anything. So you're going to have to give me the name of that psychic because I got to talk to them.
Okay. Well, this is me with everything. I'm a Gemini, so like half of me believes, half of me is like, yes, it's real. And maybe I have part of the powers too. I'm a psychic as well. And then the other half of me is like, that's all trash. I don't believe a second of it. It's all trash. So I don't know. I would love for the psychic stuff to be real, but I'm also so pragmatic and I'm just like skeptical and I don't know if it's real. Though my friend has a psychic stepmom, we call her PSM, and she did recently. My friend was like, hey, psychic stepmom told me that somebody in our group was depressed and I went down the list and then I mentioned you and she's like, yeah, that's it. And she like gave the specific reason why. And I was like, yes, she's powerful. She is a powerful witch. So, and she
so
like,
maybe it's you. And maybe susceptible to psychics.
I don't know. I also have a thing where if I wear watches, like I short circuit electronic things, I can't wear watches. Like the batteries always die. So I don't know. I want to believe in all the magic stuff, but I just don't know. I don't know. You know?
I don't know either, but we do have to take a break.
Oh!
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's. With code DATEME20, Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back.
We're back, people. We're back.
We're back. We took a nice little break and we're back in that nice. Okay, so Tom, let me ask you. So you mentioned that you've been on Grindr. Is that the only app you've been on?
No, I'm on the app. Look, you know, it's interesting that Tinder for gay people is like Match.com for straight people. And and Tinder for straight people is like Grindr for gay people, if that makes any
Correct.
Sense.
Correct. Absolutely.
So it's so interesting that, you know, I use Tinder to try and get a date. But to me, Tinder is, I like, back in the my early days of being gay in the 90s or early aughts, like, you'd walk past a gay person and, like, you'd turn around and see if they turn around too, and see if they look back at you. And then you're like, oh my God, they think I'm cute. And then if you were feeling really bold, you'd go up and talk to them and maybe get their number or something, right? But most of the time, you'd look back and you'd both get excited and nervous and scared, and then you'd keep walking, right? To me, that's what Tinder is. That's what swiping and matching on Tinder is the like, oh, did we both think each other was cute? Great. And moving on, never going to talk to you. And like occasionally people will talk. And I, for a while, I had a rule on Tinder. Like, you send a few messages and then I say, hey, let's meet up for a drink. Cause I just, it's just so sad and disappointing that, that no one's really meeting up from Tinder, at least in the gay realm. But I will say on Grindr, that's how I've met people I ended up dating. And I honestly kind of, I'm going to be real with you. I prefer if you have sex on the first date, at least for gay people, like there's so much like, hey, are you top, bottom, or versatile? And like, why am I going to wait three dates to figure out if we're going to match up in that arena?
That's how I feel. And people keep telling me, they're like, you can't do that. Men won't respect you if you sleep with them on the first date. But I'm just like, well, you also slept with me. So like, why wouldn't you respect me if you were doing the same thing as me?
I'm honestly, I'm still blown away that so much of straight, like male, female, straight dating, because I have so many lady friends, that they're still going by these archaic rules. I don't like to, that it just seems like such a more empowered place to be of like, yeah, if I want to sleep with you on the first date, I'm going to. And if you're going to fucking judge me for putting out on the first date and you can't take me seriously, someone to date, then fuck right off.
Yes.
But it also, I do think, I do feel like the women, do women still hold all the, I feel like straight men are getting laid way less than gay men. Because the women are holding the power of when we're going, when you're gonna decide. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes. And I've had a couple guys where I've slept with them on the first date where they're like, "I don't want to sleep with you because I want to see you again." And I'm like, "Oh my God, if you fuck me and it's good, you will see me all the goddamn time."
You know what it is? It's that Madonna whore complex that straight men and I guess a lot of gay men are dealing with as well. Like, but I just want to, it's easier to have sex with you and be comfortable with someone that I haven't emotionally invested in or something.
And I mean, you said top, bottom, verse. I maintain that straight people have it too. We just don't name it. Like, I'm a full-blown power bottom.
Yes!
And like, yes! I need someone. Like, I am an aggressive bottom. And I just like need someone to top me so I
you know what? You're just like, you're just like more, you are more in touch with your wants, desires, and needs, and you're more willing to talk about it. I just wish everyone would be more open to talking about it. And that's the thing with the gay stuff. It's like at least on Grindr, you can be like, I love that Grindr had a spinoff website that was called Into, because that was like the second after sending photos, it was like the first thing that everyone wants to know. What are you into? And then you would be like, I am, you know, I like to make out. I like to do this. I am verse. Here are my stats. Here's what I look like. Here's some photos. Like, get it all out up front. Like, what are you into? Like, let's just say, because then I can be like, okay, cool. Moving on. That's not a match for me. Or like, oh, I am in the mood to do that. And me personally, I'm versatile. I know that people make fun of that, but like, I want to do both. And so like, let's match up. Or, you know, maybe for this time only, I'm going to match up with you because for whatever reason, I don't know. I love that we can be upfront and say, hey, I'm into this. And I found like the last couple of people I dated was from Grindr, and we had a great sexual chemistry and connection. And then I was like, oh, hey, you're also cool. Like, let's hang out. Oh, I will. Oh, let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Scotland?
No, I've never been. I have not. No. I haven't been to Scotland. I was supposed to go to Australia, but that got canceled because of Miss Rona. So, I've never been to Scotland.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you do, as a performer, get the chance to go do a little run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, I'd highly recommend it because you're going to have the time of your life because I don't know what it is. The hottest men are there. I don't know why the young men's want to date me there. I don't know what's happening, but it's magical and you got to go. Because also on the hookup apps, like on Tinder and Grindr, like you can meet up and then like have a like delightful civil conversation afterwards. Maybe you have a drink, you go to coffee afterwards. Like, I don't know what it was. Because here, a lot of the gays, they want to just sort of like hook up and like bye. But for some reason over there, it was delightful. And like, I made friendships. I had like a little summer fling. I don't know what it is. Ooh. You gotta go. Get yourself there and perform. Get yourself some Scottish gigs and then find yourself some Scottish men because they're just in the accent. Ooh.
I do love that accent. And I do find Scottish men to be very attractive. I think he's Scottish. I have a big crush. His name is Damal Gleeson. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's an actor. I'm gonna look him up though. And he's so hot. Oh no, he's Irish. He's from Ireland.
Oh, well, I bet the same thing goes for Ireland. I don't know. There's just like maybe it's because it's a smaller country and they're just more friendly and well-mannered. I don't know. But also, do you date younger? Are you on the apps? Are you on Raya? How do I get on Raya? Jesus.
You're not on Raya?
No, I can't get, they won't accept me.
It took 2 years for me to get accepted.
I'm 4 years in and they have not accepted. Fuck
four
Raya.
4 years? That's crazy.
Well, as a well-known celebrity person, are you able to be on the apps?
Yes. I'm on them. It's been weird in the last like year and a half. Honestly, ever since Nailed It came out, people have been weirder to me because before straight men didn't know Girl Code. They didn't know my podcast. They didn't really know my work, but Nailed It is very much like stoners, kids, parents. Like it's pretty universal. So like more people will respond with like, oh, is our first date going to be us nailing it? And I'm like, oh. If only you didn't say that, say it like that. I mean, I'd rather somebody say, like, wait till we meet in person to be like, oh, I know who you are. I'm familiar with your work. That's fine. But it's when you say it before we meet up, it feels like there's expectations.
Yeah, it doesn't create a level playing field. That's why I just, sometimes when people ask what I do on the apps, I'm like, I work in production. I work in digital content because, you know, as soon as you say you're an actor that or performer, they just want to know like, oh, what, where can I find you? And then it just, before the Rona happened, I'd gone on a couple dates with a really hot young, like out of my league. Hot younger gentleman.
Stop it. Nobody is out of anybody's league. That is a made up thing to make us feel bad.
But he's gorgeous and he's, you know, a solid, he's much younger than me. And I was drunk at Akbar and he said hi to me. And then like, before I left, I don't know. I haven't been this drunk in the longest time, but I just like went up to him, gave him my phone or got his phone number. I can't remember what happened. And then the next morning was like, I remember I've been drunk texting with this man and I can't remember what he looks like, but I remember he was cute. And we went up, we had a couple of great dates and now waiting to go on a couple more, but I didn't know his last name, but I knew we had a friend in common. So I did a deep dive and I figured out his last name and then I found him on Facebook. And then I just did discover he had some, he posted some things from Buffy on Facebook.
Ooh.
And I was like, but I was like, I respect that, sir. You kept it a level playing field.
Uh-huh.
He didn't come out with it and say like, oh, I'm a big Buffy fan. Because a lot of the times I feel like, are you a fan? Like, did you enjoy me or am I just the closest thing to the thing that you actually like, which is the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of respect that he just like was cool about it. And I will continue to go out with him because he is a good kisser, okay?
Sometimes it's very hard to find. You're just like, oh, we kissed and this is awful. I had a date with a guy a couple years ago. We went out like 6 times or something and we didn't have sex because I was trying to be a good little person and wait the way people had told me to. And I've never waited more than one date. Like, so 6 was a lot. And when he finally kissed me, it was on like our second date, I think. It was such a nervous kiss. And it, like, I was excited because I was like, he finally kissed me. But then later I was like, ugh, it was such a bad kiss.
Oh, no. I feel like also maybe if you'd made out on the first date, there wouldn't have been such a buildup and he'd be more relaxed and it would have been great.
Yes, and I wouldn't have waited 6 fucking dates to find out that he couldn't get it up and was not meant for me.
Oh, God. Anyone listening, like, let's just throw out the rules. Like, everyone get laid on the first date. Find out if the D is good.
Yes, because otherwise you're just wasting your fucking time.
We don't have time. Because you can have, like, you can, like, on paper, they can be the type of guy that, like, oh, I could, you know, take home to mom and they went to grad school. They went to Pepperdine and have a master's degree in business. Oh my God. Like I picture myself, the wedding, we're going to have a house in Los Feliz. Like if you don't have a good sexual connection, what's the point? What is the point?
Agree. But I will say this, like I've also dated people where the sex was like fine at first. We were like, all right, this is nothing to like scream about or like write home about, whatever that fucking saying is. But like after like a couple more times and I just like tell them what I like and they tell me what they like, it's like, oh, okay, this is nice. We can do this.
That's true. Yeah. I guess if you're able to get to a place where you can communicate with that person. Oh, God, it's just so hard. I don't know why it's so hard to say like, hey, it feels good when you do this. Please don't. Anyone pinching nipples out there, you got to stop. You got to stop that.
Oh, no. I love to pinch nipples. But, like, not during sex. It's like when we're laying down, I'll just, like, pinch your little nips. Oh, no. I got to stop?
No, you don't have to stop. But you got to, like, you got to feel out the situation. Okay, this is shocking and sort of terrible. But I had a drunken date, and the guy got so drunk that after the fact, he went back upstairs to the restaurant where we were, and he was like, I can't get back into the restaurant without showing them that we were already there, so can you send me a picture of the receipt from our bar tab? And I was like, you, sir, are trash. And then he was like, okay. I'm like, we paid cash. He's like, can you send me a screen grab of your credit card bill? I'm like, stop trying to steal my identity. Anyway,
what a sneaky way to steal someone's identity. Cause he could have gotten your credit card number and been like, I'm going shopping.
What an asshole. Anyway, we were making out and we were both very drunk, but we did the old like pushing of the head down with the hand.
Yeah,
and I was
that's
like,
not for me.
No, thank you. And then he smacked me across the face.
No, you can't do that unless that's like you've talked about it.
You have to talk about that. You have to like do a gentle tap on the hiner on the booty first. And like you have to feel out the situation. You got to read the room first.
I think it's perfectly fine to ask. It's like, I want to slap you in the face. And then if the person goes, no, thank you, that's not for me, you go, okay, I'll save that for later.
Yeah. And I was like, I was so shocked and so devastated. I did keep going because I was in such shock, and I don't know. Maybe that's a serious topic. You can delete this if you feel like it. But you gotta ask permission.
Do you want me to delete this?
No, you can keep it. I don't care. Okay, you gotta talk about it. You gotta communicate, and anyway, this was going back to the pinching of the nipples. I hate when people like at a bar walk up to you. Gay men will do this. And they'll like ruffle your hair, they'll pinch your nipples, or they're like tweak your nose. And here's what I have to tell everyone. Okay, do not never touch the hair. You don't know how much work has gone into that. You don't know who's wearing. Sometimes people are wearing something that's glued on and you don't know. So please do not go in for that. Okay. And no judgments. I may get to the point where I need to glue something on. So please don't adjust that. Don't go in without permission. Also, my nose, I've got a big nose, big hose, maybe, we'll see. I have a big nose and it's crooked and there's a lot of equilibrium that I've established in there and I don't want you touching that, okay? I can barely breathe through the one good nostril, the one septum that's working, okay? Don't tweak the nose. And then finally, do not tweak my nipples because you don't know if that hurts me or if I like that. Like you gotta just ask permission. But maybe
I don't understand why anyone is touching anyone without permission. I don't think I've ever had anyone tweak my nipples just like out in a bar. I've had people touch my hair, of course, and I like read them. I'm like, don't you dare, don't you fucking never dare.
I do have one friend who
loves to touch my feet, and I think he likes to touch my feet because it makes me scream irrationally, because I'm just like, I don't know, don't touch my feet. Feet are disgusting. No, like, not to be rude and like read people with a foot fetish, but like, why does Quentin Tarantino love feet so much?
Okay, I have a tale to tell. I had a shenanigan with a gentleman in New York, and I just wanted to make out. There was like a lot of tension, like that, like fun sexual tension where like we just need to make out. And that's like basically what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And he came over and then he was like, I want you to put your feet in my face.
Oh boy.
And I was like, wah, 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 wah. And I was like, oh, okay, but can we make out first? And then he basically like made me put his feet in his face. And I was not turned on in any way because I know he was wanting to be objectified, but I felt objectified. Like, am I just some foot for you?
Am I just some foot to you?
That's all you want? That's what you want? You're like, you wanted the big reveal is me taking off my disgusting sock and putting it in your face. Like, no, thank you, sir.
I mean, the only way I could do like foot play truly is if I was with a partner that like I loved to the moon and back, and they were like, okay, I want to play with your feet. Go take a shower, wash your feet, slip them into some slippers. Like, they would have to be like at the optimal amount of clean. There is no way I'm going to take my foot out of my Vans. Like, take my like disgusting mismatched socks and like slap you in the face with my foot. I can't, like, that is not for me.
I feel like the foot fetish people need to be there. Hopefully there's a place where they can find each other so they can take turns on each other's feet.
Okay. Okay. Footplay.com.
Oh God.
I couldn't do it.
Feet are so ugly. I don't know. I mean, they're fine. I don't know.
I had my toes
done in high school.
Oh.
I had ingrown toenail surgery.
Oh, like surgery.
Yeah.
I thought you meant your toenails were just polished during high school. And I was like, okay, queen, let's get in. I was like, that's nice. I like
Come through, queen, polished nails.
Come on, flip-flops, let's get sickening.
No, I had extremely bad, why am I telling you this? I had extremely bad ingrown toenails, and I had surgery on one during, like, while I was in a musical on stage, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, I can't do the dance numbers right now because I just got my toe done, and then I had the other one, and so, I don't think the doctor was very skilled, because like I've always been now self-conscious of like, I feel like he took too much off of the toenails. So I don't like the way they look.
What musicals were you in high school?
Oh God, all of them. We didn't have a drama department at my school because I grew up here in California, public school. Oh. And like before I got there, the drama teacher had been fired for assaulting students. Very cool.
Oh,
very
my
cool.
God.
Not cool, man. And way to be a cliche. And so then, like, we didn't have a drama department, so I was in the community theater, and I did all the shows. I did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and The Wizard of Oz, and HMS Pinafore. Oh, God, I just did them all. But then I started directing them. I directed a then unknown five-year-old Amanda Bynes to be in our production of Annie.
Amanda Bynes is currently pregnant and has a heart tattoo on her face.
I know. And I'm like, is this my fault? Had she not got into the biz because of me? And the Camarillo Youth Theater?
Directly your fault, Tom. You did this. But also, if you know Amanda Bynes, please check in on her. I hope she's okay.
Me too. My heart goes out to her.
I love her so much. She's so funny.
I know. She's such a talent, and I'm hoping she gets back to a good place.
Me too.
Took it to a serious place. But
that was the Amanda Bynes segment of my podcast.
But my high school, they're like, well, we don't have a drama teacher, so you should do it. You've directed musicals at the youth theater. You should be in charge. So then I had to direct a production of The Music Man, which I hate that show. And anyway, I directed it. I just wanted to be the star, and I couldn't because I had to direct it.
Have you seen the new Cats? Or not the new Cats, the movie Cats?
I have not. I've been saving it.
You have to watch it. And if you have drugs, take some drugs and watch it. It is truly a treat. It makes not much sense. I forgot that the whole musical is literally just introducing cats to go to the Heaviside layer.
It's cats talk. They talk about themselves. They talk about some other cats, and then one of them dies and goes to heaven.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the movie yet, but I'm going to watch it here in quarantine. But the past few months, so the sad part was that I had booked a space over at Dynasty Typewriter. Obviously it's canceled now, but I've been writing a new one man musical called Cat, where I play all the cats. And it's all original music because I want to be able to like do it everywhere and not get sued. But it's a parody of Cats, but it's basically everyone in this community theater's like rip off production of Cats gets food poisoning, and I have to play all the cats. And I work in I'm the box office manager, and I literally am going to sell the audience their tickets and then have to get up on stage and sing all the songs and be all the cats. But now I have more time to work on it, and now I'm going to watch the movie and see if that informs the production.
So when you finally do it, it better fucking be good, because you've had all this fucking time. I'm kidding. I'll come see it. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. But also, like, I'm like, yes, I'm going to work on it every day. No, I'm not. I'm going to stare at my phone and be anxious for a month.
Honestly, that's what I've done. I saw this meme that was like, what's my quarantine schedule? Get up at noon and look at my phone from noon 30 to about midnight and go to sleep and repeat. I was like, yeah, that's all I've been fucking doing. Thank God I have a podcast to like come back to and record.
I've been sleeping till 1 because I'm a monster. And I'm like, well, this is my natural circadian rhythm anyway. And I've always just been fighting it. So now that there's no shame in fighting it and no guilt, like I'm just living my truth and sleeping.
I mean, it's nice. I do enjoy the little break. It is nice, but I do wish I could leave my house. Tom, we've reached the end I try to remember to ask all of my guests this, but I think you answered this right up top. Would you date me?
100%. I'm legit considering if I'm a bisexual. Like, it's all time to question our fluidity and our sexual desires during this time.
Love it.
And I'm gonna do some soul searching because I would like to see if we can make this work.
Oh, perfect. Finally, I can end the podcast. I have a boyfriend. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't end it. I love talking about myself. Do you have anything you want to promote? Like your Instagram?
Oh yeah. Follow me at Tommy Lank on Instagram. I've been slacking on the costumes because I just want to go back to being an actor and do funny things. But maybe I'll make some more while I'm here in quarantine. But also my podcast is called The Trash Cast, where I make people bring me a trash and a treasure and I try to figure out which is which. So you can find that on all the places where you listen to podcasts, and it's real fun. And
I love that. Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah. That's it. That's what I got.
I love
and it. And I'm a big fan of you. So thank you for having me on.
And I'm a big fan of you. Thank you so much for being here, for hopping on your computer and talking to me. If you enjoyed this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can rate it 5 stars. And if you send me a nasty message hitting on me, I will read it. This person said, I am no longer a taken gay, so now we can really have fun. I'd let you slap the shit out of me with your convertible top clit, referencing you telling Sashir your clit is like a drop top, until sheer blunt force breaks my neck and makes me pass away. That's one. Here's another one. Nicole, I would fuck you all night long with a big blue strap on, hit it from the back, and play bongos on those lovely chocolate cheeks. Then I'll gobble gobble up that puss while doing a Guy Fieri impression of, oh yeah. And then for the grand finale, I'll shout, one way ticket to Flavortown, please, before I eat that ass like high-end groceries.
High-end groceries!
That one was high-end groceries is so funny. Also, I have a podcast called Newcomers with Lauren Lapkus. We're watching Star Wars. Star Wars for the first time. And I have a book coming out June 2nd called Hashtag Very Fat, Very Brave. The Fat Girl's Guide to Being Brave and Not a Dejected Melancholy Down in the Dumps Weeping Fat Girl in a Bikini. So you can pre-order that with the links in my bio. And that's it for Why Won't You Date Me? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.